I like Pippi Longstocking. She doesn't go to school. She's a homeschool.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Walter Cook. My Anishinaabe name is Chikshkai, which is First Nations in Ojibwe for Stargazer. That's in translation. And I work at the Aboriginal Health Center as a counselor and elder. But there's a story that I like to share with the kids. Okay, it's a story of a little mouse that wanted to become an eagle. And you know how we like to be somebody else all the time? And so this little mouse always admired the eagle flying around. And again, the little mouse knew that he was part of the food chain of the eagle, and he knew that. So he always sought to hide every time the eagle flew around because he was being hunted. But at the same time, really admired the eagle and was scared of it. But he kept having this dream, he kept having this vision, and this vision to go on a trip, to go on a journey, and to go towards this mountain. And then one day he decided, well, I'm going to take my journey, and I'm going to go. So he kind of made his little pack sack and put his clothes and food and started to sneak out of his house because he was looking at the eagle. And as he was walking and keeping an eye to see where the eagle was, he tripped on something because he was busy looking up into the sky. And when he looked down, there was a big snake laying across the path that he was walking. And he said to the snake, you know, why don't you go and lay somewhere else, you know, and don't lay in the path of people, where people are going to walk and animals are going to walk. And the snake says, leave me alone. I'm just minding my own business. Just go. And the little mouse didn't want to argue, so he said, yeah, okay, we'll see you, and he kept on. And as he was walking, he came across a figure coming towards him. And there was this fox. When he came closer, he recognized a fox. But this fox had, his eye was damaged. And the little mouse said, Wagush, which is fox in Ojibwe, he said, Wagush, could you show me how to get to that mountain? Maybe there's a shortcut, you know, And the fox said, what mountain? He said, I can't see the mountain you're talking about. And the little mouse said, right there, right behind you. He says, I can't see it. And then the fox said, you know, maybe if you give me one of your eyes, I can see the mountain. And the little mouse kind of thought, give my eye away? And he said, yeah, okay, because he wanted to go on his journey, right? He said, okay, here's my eye, you know. See, this is where... Now, it doesn't sound too good in English, but in Ojibwe, you'd probably be laughing because it would sound funny. And so he says to the fox, here's my eye. And the fox took the eye and put it in his own eye socket, and he goes, oh, there's the mountain. Now I see what you're talking about. So he tells him what to do and tells the mouse, you just keep going around this corner here, and you'll come across other beings, other humans, or maybe animals that will help you, and take it away. Thank you for your eye. It'd be great. And so away he went. And as he was walking, he continued to see where the eagle was. And by this time, the eagle was flying around way back there. And the little mouse didn't really have to hide as much. And then he can hear someone splashing away, singing away. And when he came around the corner there, There was a little lake. There was a turtle going back and forth swimming and twirling on his back, using his shell as a canoe and just enjoying life. And the mouse said, "Hey, turtle, could you help me across this written lake here? Because I want to try and make it to that mountain before it gets dark." And the turtle looked around, and because nobody really talked to him that much, right? And he was surprised the mouse was talking to him. And he goes, "Okay, you're talking to me?" And the mouse said, "Yeah, I'm talking to you." He says, "Could you help me get across somehow?" Turtle says, "Sure, jump on my back. You know, I'll take you across." And the little mouse jumped on his back, and the turtle started to swim. And halfway through the lake, he went under. And there was this little mouse, barely knowing how to swim because he doesn't swim that much, and he had to swim back to shore. And he was kind of hurt, kind of angry. But what really made him mad was that he swam to where he started from. He could have been across. And this turtle was making fun of him. He was yelling, "Sucker, made fun of you, ha ha." And the little mouse would just shake his head and just continued on his journey. And the turtle was making fun of him. And anyways, he continued to look at the sky, see where the eagle was. Again, he tripped on something, and it was a snake. And the mouse says, "I thought I told you to move, you know. I thought I told you to go and lay somewhere else." And the snake says, "What do you mean?" He says, "I tripped over here this morning." He says, "That wasn't me. That's probably my cousin. We all look alike." And so the little mouse said, "Okay, well, anyways, you should go and lay somewhere else, not in the path of where people are walking. You trip people." And the snake says, "Just leave me alone. I'm relaxing." Anyways, the little mouse continued. Then as he was walking, another figure was coming towards him, much bigger than the fox. And then when it came closer, he realized it was a grizzly bear. And again, something was dangling by his eye. And the little mouse thought, I know. Yeah. So he asked the bear, "Is there any way you can show me how to get to that mountain? Because it's getting dark and I have to get there soon." And the bear turned around and says, "What mountain?" "Well, same thing like the fox." And the little mouse said, "Well, that mountain behind you." And the bear says, "Well, you know, this morning," he says, "I had a fight with this grouchy fox, and somehow he grabbed into my eye and really hurt my eye, and so I tried to pay him back and before he took off, and so I can't see too good with my hurt eye. But if you give me one of your eyeballs, maybe I can see the mountain you're talking about." The little mouse did quick math. 1 + 1 = 2, 2 eyes. I already gave away one eye. I only have one eye left. What am I going to do? He said, "Okay, well, I'm going to give you my eye." So the little mouse took out his last eye and gave it to the bear. And the bear put it in his socket. And he goes, "So there's the mountain you're talking about." And he says, "You know what? Since you're a nice little buddy, I'm going to take you there myself." So he says, "Jump on my back and I'll take you right to where you want to go. I'm really grateful in what you've given me." And the mouse said, "Okay." So he hung on to the back of the grizzly, and the grizzly started to walk. And the little mouse couldn't see this time. See, he can just feel the wind. He can, because he's blind by this time, but he wants to make his journey. And then he can feel the bear climbing up the hill, and he can feel it really being steep, and he couldn't hold on too much because a grizzly bear's fur is kind of like greasy. So he started to slip, and finally he was falling, and he couldn't hold on. There he went, falling down the mountain. He's thinking to himself, "Well, I don't care anymore. If that eagle wants to catch me, here I go, eagle, catch me." And anyways, the eagle wasn't around when you need him. And then he fell on a ledge. He can feel the ledge of a rock, and he was really grateful that he didn't go right down. So there he was on this ledge, and he started to feel around, and he stayed in this crevice for the longest time. Day one, day two, and he was there like 4 days. And on the fourth day, he was so dry that he didn't care. And he can hear a little puddle of water, like dripping. And he thought, "Well, I don't care anymore. I'm going to go for a drink. If the eagle wants to eat me, fine. If he doesn't, fine. But I'm going to go for my drink." So he followed the sound of the drip. And there he was, drinking. You can feel it, and he was drinking. And it must have been a healing water. And there's stories about water as well, but he must have been drinking the healing water because his vision came back. And there he was sitting there. And he can see the eagle, the reflection of the eagle in the water, in the puddle. And he just froze. He just kind of sat there for like hours, felt like hours. And every time he moved, the eagle would move as well. And then finally he started to look around, and then he realized that wasn't his feet, that was the talons of an eagle. And then he realized he had turned into an eagle. This little mouse had turned into an eagle.
You know, we have a million stories to tell. I'm just one of a million or more stories that can be told.
Freedom.
I know in my heart that someone has to pay a sacrifice to make things better for our people. The sacrifice I have made when I really sit down and think about it is nothing compared to what our people of 100 years ago or 50 years ago or 25 years ago made. Some gave their lives. Some had to stand there and watch their children die in their arms. So I mean, the sacrifice I made is nothing compared to those. I've gone too far now to start backing down. I don't give up. Not until my people are free will I give up. And if I have to sacrifice some more, then I sacrifice some more.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFM.
I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, 97.9 FM, and Fredericton, New Brunswick.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine?
Book review.
Book review.
Book review.
Book review.
Book review. Book review.
I like Pippi Longstocking because she can lift her horse. And I like Pippi Longstocking because she can run on the rooftop. She's a girl. She has braids and she does have hair. And she has a dress and she has pink shoes, big shoes so that she can touch the ground and wiggle her toes. She doesn't go to school. She's a homeschooler. She homeschools herself. I like Pippi Longstocking because she's in a book, but she does have friends.
So who puts her to bed?
Herself puts her to bed. She cooks pancakes for herself. Well, Pippi Longstocking makes her food on the floor. Pippi is 9. She has red braids, a dress that she meant to have it red, but she didn't have any red cloth, and stockings, and big, big, big shoes so she can wiggle her toes. Pippi thought that her dad had become a cannibal king, and he did.
Is the monkey named Mr. Nils?
The monkey's name is Mr. Nilsson. When the captain took her up on her father's boat to learn how to write, then Pippi said, "No, no, I have to see how cold it is out on the deck." And that's why she never knows how to write very good.
Pippi doesn't go to school.
Okay then, Madeline. Why does she bake on the floor? Why does she roll of the roll peel on the floor?
Well, she has to do it. She wants to do it so hard that she has to get it on the floor.
Madeline, does Pippi Longstocking have any friends?
Yes.
Okay.
Tommy and Annika.
Yeah. Okay. Then did her mom and dad get blown up?
No. The mum died and the cannibal king went to the cannibal world and became the cannibal king.
Radio Free School. A show by, for, and about hey learners.
Pippi to the rescue. Well, Pippi found out that she hadn't remembered that she hadn't been riding out. She hadn't gone out riding for several days, so she saddled the horse and carried him off the porch, and then she jumped on him and she grabbed Mr. Nilsson from when he'd been playing marbles in the corner, and they went. And it was very, very wild horse ride. Mr. Nilsson tried to grab some of the branches, but he kept getting boxed in the ears. And he had a lot of trouble keeping his straw hat on. And then he came to the market square, and everyone was backing against walls. Normally the market square was peaceful and quiet, but suddenly the quiet was broken by loud shrieks. The skyscraper was on fire, and then Pippi ran in. There was two boys up in a window that a child's hand had just opened, and everyone was crying. She thought the fire was fun when a few sparks fell on her. Then she realized that the boys up in the window weren't enjoying it at all. She said, "Why are they crying to everyone?" At first she only got sobs in answer, but then a stout gentleman said, "Wouldn't you be crying yourself if you were up there and you couldn't get down?" And Pippi said, "Like, I never cry. But if the children want to get down, why doesn't someone help them?" And then the gentleman said, "Because it's impossible." And Pippi said, "Someone get me a long rope." But no one realized what she was going to do, and no one got her one, but somehow Pippi got her rope. And then there was a tree right beside the gable, and the tree was a few centimeters wide in space away from the tree. Then Pippi got Mr. Nilsson, tied Mr. Nilsson's tail up, and he said, "Pippi's good boy." And then Mr. Nilsson ran up the tree, and then Pippi beckoned him to come down, and he came down so that the rope was hanging over, like, down on both sides, were touching the ground. So then Pippi goes and takes a board from a house that was being repaired. Probably the people were not very happy. And then she brought it up the tree in her free arm, and then she climbed up the rope, and then she put it down, and it crossed a few centimeters. I mean yards. And then she carried both one boy on under each arm, and she tied one of the boys up, and then she let him down. And then the mother was overcome with joy, but then he said, "Untie the rope for heaven's sake. There's another boy up here and he can't fly either." And then everyone had to help untie that rope. Pippi could tie good knots. She'd learned that at sea. So then she pulled up the rope and she tied the second boy and let him down. And she started dancing in the firelight, saying, "The fire is burning." I can't remember the verse. So, and everyone was afraid that she would fall off and kill herself, but Pippi didn't fall. I told the whole story.
Wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1C. Oh.